In the years 1014 to 1035, there ruled over England a Danish Christian king named Canute. King Canute became tired of hearing his retainers flatter him with extravagant praises of his greatness, his power, and his invincibility. So to remedy this, he ordered his throne to be set down on the seashore, where he then commanded the waves not to come in. No matter how forcefully he ordered the tide, his order was not obeyed. Soon the waves lapped around his chair. One historian, Henry of Huntingdon, records these words in his chronicles. King Canute commanded the waves, but the sea carried on, rising as usual, without any reverence for his person, and soaked his feet and legs. Then he, moving away, said, "All the inhabitants of the world should know that the power of kings is vain and trivial, and that none is worthy of the name of king but he whose command the heavens, earth, and sea obey by eternal laws." The historian goes on to record, after that occasion, King Canute never wore his crown again, but hung it on a statue of the crucified Christ. King Canute recognized his place in the world. He understood true power and authority. Today we'll look at the second sign or miracle in John's gospel. Remember, John records these signs not just to be a historian, but to be an evangelist, proclaiming a profound message for all the world to see in these individual events for individual people, and yet the message is for the entire world. These signs have to do with authority, the authority of Jesus Christ as Lord of all. In the first miracle, a couple of weeks ago, the changing of water into wine at a wedding in Cana, Jesus demonstrated his authority and microscopic mastery of subatomic particles when he changed H2O into C14H12O3. That's the chemical compound for wine. And doing it instantaneously. No aging process was required for that perfect wine, just his word. But now the second sign shows Jesus' authority over the macro, not the micro. His mastery of time and space. It's a long distance miracle. Most of Jesus' miracles happened in his presence, either by touching or direct conversation or laying on of hands. But this one happened 20 miles away from where he was standing, and at precisely the time he spoke the word for it to happen. Jesus has authority over the micro and the macro affairs of this world. He has authority over molecules and galaxies. There's nothing that does not fall into his domain, subatomic particles as well as time and space. No, this miracle had a 20-mile distance to it. There is nothing out of the range of his authority. It could have been from 25 miles away. I mean, the person could have been 2 million light years away, and the miracle still would have happened with no lapse in time for the healing message to arrive. Let us read about this second sign in John, the 4th chapter, beginning at verse 43. After 2 days, he left for Galilee. Now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. And when he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they also had been there. Once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Go, Jesus replied, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, yesterday, at 1 p.m, the fever left him. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. Now notice the man in our story is described as a royal official. He was most likely a Roman official who was governing that area of Galilee in some capacity. And according to Roman law, he would have had authority over Jesus, who technically was merely a peasant living in his jurisdiction. But this man, who was endued with much authority, did not come to Jesus giving orders, even though he had the law backing him up to do so. He could have said, Jesus, I order you to come with me now. But instead, he came to Jesus in humility. Notice the man addressed Jesus by saying, sir. Here you have the royal Roman official saying to the peasant Jesus, sir. In this exchange, John is allowing us to see Jesus as the one who has authority over all political powers in this world. Jesus sets up and takes down kings, kingdoms, and authorities. This Roman official at this critical point in his life, just like King Canute, realized this fact. In that desperate moment, he realized that his own authority only went so far. He could not heal his son, but he knew Jesus could. It's a little word in the story, sir, but it shows us the position of the man's heart and how it helped accomplish great things. When Christian Herder was governor of Massachusetts back in the 1950s, he was running hard for a second term in office. One day after a busy morning chasing votes and having no lunch, he arrived at a church barbecue. It was late afternoon and Herder was famished. As Governor Herder moved down the serving line, he held out his plate to the woman serving chicken. She put a piece on his plate and turned to the next person in line. Excuse me, the governor said, do you mind if I have another piece of chicken? Sorry, the woman told him. I'm supposed to give one piece of chicken to each person. But I'm starved, the governor said. Sorry, the woman said again, only one to a customer. Well, Governor Herder was a modest and an unassuming man. But he decided this time that he would throw a little weight around. Do you know who I am? He said. I'm the governor of this state. Well, do you know who I am? The woman said. I'm the lady in charge of the chicken. Move along, mister. That's the power gap we have going on in our story today. Big Roman guy, little rabbi church guy. But the royal official didn't abuse his power. He humbled himself and addressed Jesus as sir. God doesn't recognize orders. He cannot be bullied, arm-twisted, manipulated, or bought off. But God will move heaven and earth to respond to a humble plea for help. You cannot force a miracle from God, But you can position your heart before him to receive one. By recognizing God's supreme authority and humbling himself before Jesus, he put himself in a position for his prayer to be answered. Another thing this Roman official did on behalf of his son was to invest sweat equity into his prayer. The walk from Capernaum to Cana is 20 miles, with a rise in elevation of over 1,350 vertical feet. When he spoke with Jesus, he pleaded to him, saying, "Come down with me." The walk from Capernaum to Cana was uphill. The man was tired both physically and emotionally when he arrived. And the Roman official put a lot of effort behind his prayer. He knew Jesus wasn't going to come to him, so he did what it took to get to Jesus. Do you put any effort behind your prayers? Your effort doesn't make a miracle happen, but your lack of effort might keep one from happening. We usually just follow Jesus and seek Jesus up to the point of inconvenience and go no further, and then we wonder why we don't see miracles anymore. This Roman official was desperate for his son to live. He was determined to go the distance beyond the point of inconvenience. There is a saying, God is in control, but he doesn't expect you to lean on a shovel and pray for a hole. In other words, don't always wait for Jesus to wait on you like you're sitting in a restaurant. Jesus doesn't run a fast food prayer line. Get up, demonstrate some faith, and walk to Cana if you must. Go get your miracle. The woman with the issue of blood fought her way through a crowd to get to Jesus. Another desperate woman crashed a dinner party of important people to pour expensive perfume on Jesus' feet and then wipe his feet with her tears and her hair. Four friends of a lame man broke a hole in the roof of a home to let him down through that hole so that Jesus could heal him. These were all sweat equity miracles. Do you have any sweat equity invested in your prayer life today? Sometimes God wants to see if you're serious about him or not. Are you willing to walk to Cana to see your prayers answered? The final demonstration of this royal official's faith happened as he reacted to Jesus' words, "Go, your son will live." Immediately after this man heard Jesus' words, he didn't keep begging for Jesus to come with him. The text says, the man took Jesus at his word and departed. He recognized true authority when he heard it, when he saw it in action. He had been around authoritative figures for quite some time. In fact, he was one. He didn't question or doubt the words of Jesus. He simply turned around and headed for home. This was an act of faith. The master has spoken, I'll take him at his word. Jesus said, go, and he went. Do you take Jesus at his word? Do you act on his word in faith? Or do you question it, scrutinize it, doubt it? And while he was heading home, notice it says, the next day as he met his servants. It was generally a two-day trip. It goes to show you the desperation of that man. He made it a one-day trip uphill. But as he was going home, he met his servants. And they were coming towards him with good news. Your son is alive. And the man said, when did this happen? As if he didn't already know. At 1 p.m. yesterday, they said. And that was the exact time that Jesus gave the order for his son to be healed. No two-day recovery period. Instant healing. Boom. The fever gone, just like that. And not only healing, but it went beyond that. It went from healing to salvation for the entire household. When Jesus does a job, he completes it fully and abundantly. And even goes beyond, just like he did with the wine or with the two fish and the five loaves. He not only healed a fever, but he healed a house full of souls. As we leave this season of light, the season of Epiphany, we will now transition into the season of the Valley of the Shadow of Death, the season of Lent. It is a time when we will see Jesus demonstrate his authority over sin, death, and the grave. It is a time when we will hear him speak and act with the authority of God. The next time, if you're ever sitting on a beach and the tide is coming in, or in some other place where you can see the handiwork of God, remember the one who has supreme authority over your life. His spoken words towards you is yea and amen. You have forgiveness. You have eternal life in his name. Go now and serve him with purpose and the authority he's given to you to love others in his name. Amen.